Be seated. All right, if you're a visitor here this morning at Lake Country Bible Church, we'd like to welcome you. Know that we just love having you here and appreciate you. And we would sure love it if you look in the pouch in the front of you in the book pouch. There should be a little sack with a card in it and a pen, and you could fill out the information on that card. Let us know a little something about yourself. We sure would appreciate that. And we could call you and let you know that, yeah, we love having you here. So if you could do that and put it in the basket on the way out the door this morning, that would work real well. Announcements, or I might have left my bulletin. Prayer. Okay, so that would be.
Dear Father, we come to you this morning knowing that you are in our midst. Father, we love you and we love your word. We love that you sent your son to die on a cross, knowing that we could not pay the price called for by your righteous law or by your righteousness. Knowing that we could never make this payment ourselves, you sent for him to die a terrible cross, even though he was the perfect man to ever walk the earth, the perfect Lamb of the Lord. You did this while we were yet sinners, when we didn't even deserve it. And you did this straight out of your love, which I can't even fathom. Father, I ask is, you have us walk through this life, this existence that we have on this earth, which is very short compared to eternity, that you would give us the ability to show the light of that love, the love that you gave that caused you to give up your only son to a miserable death on a cross for people that did not deserve it. I ask that you would give us that light to shine forth in not only the way we speak, but in the way we act and the way we are seen. Be with Mike as he brings us the word. Teach us all through the word, through the Holy Spirit, Father. For we all know we need to learn more about you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Before we do scripture readings, I generally do announcements right about now. So, I don't see it in here, but just to let y'all know, the directories are finally ready. And if you remember, you have a directory in the back. Terry Buckler's holding one up. So, please check with Terrell Aaronspear back in the sound room. He has the directories. Prayer meetings are every Sunday, 9 a.m. If you go through this door, there's another door on the other side. You go through that door, you'll see Miss Ruth in there, Mr. Ray in there, and they generally do the prayer meeting beforehand. It happens at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Everyone is invited. Come and lift up the whatever you feel you need to the Lord Jesus, that we're here to pray for each other and pray for each other's needs. And it's very important. Sometimes it's something we lack in our relationship. There's a women's Bible study that happens every Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Miss Terry Buckler right over here, she leads it. And right now y'all are studying in the book of Joshua. All the women are invited. If your husbands come, usually Ray sets out front, and men discuss, they don't gossip. So we'll be up here discussing. Wednesday night service, of course, is every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Everyone is welcome. And I'm not mistaken, Wes or Ray is doing that one. I'm not sure which one at this particular time. Ray is. It switches back and forth. There is a Valentine's Day potluck dinner. If you did not bring something, don't worry. We got plenty of food. Everybody's invited over next door immediately after the service. Come over, put the feed bag on, do some fellowship with people, enjoy each other. We are supposed to enjoy our family, and everybody out here that's a believer is one part of my family. So come on over and enjoy each other. On movie night, we have a movie night coming up on Friday, February 17th. That's next week. No, is it this week? Next? No. This week. Because this week's already next week. Yeah. Friday, 17th. That's next Friday coming up. There'll be a showing of called Esther. Everyone is invited. Bring friends, whatever you want to. We'll have a good old time then. Now, let's go to our prayer reading. And our prayer reading this morning, if it's written right in the thing, because it wasn't last time, is Numbers 32, 1 through 11. Numbers 32, 1 through 11. So if everybody would turn there, please turn there. Sometimes I don't say the right words. Numbers chapter 32, 1 through 11. Now, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer, the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Atharot and Dibon had Jazer and Nimrah and Hezbon and Eleah and Shebon and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of the Israelites, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Therefore, they said, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over the Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, and said to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, and that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the man that came up out of Egypt from the 20-year-olds upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me.
Good to look out and see smiling faces. I didn't believe Brad could sing like that. Call him old leather lungs. Good. We appreciate Brad and Brenda as they help us with our service, a valuable part of our service, and we thank you for that. Well, good morning. It's good to see you, your smiling faces. All the aches and pains, I'm sure, are not gone. They're not gone from me. My brother just bought a new farm and over outside of Canton. And he asked if I would like to come help lay some water line. Can I give you the answer that you should give? No, I enjoyed going. We laid some 1,300 feet of inch and a half water line yesterday. And I feel it this morning. But it's good to be here, be in the house of the Lord, and to hear such good singing and praise. And I'm just, I'm filled already. Thank God for each and every one of you. I was reading this week. Sometimes that gets me in trouble. But there's a story about a pastor walking down the street one day when he notices a little boy trying to reach the doorbell in order to ring it. And so the little boy was across the street. The pastor watched him as he jumped and tried to reach with his, being on his tiptoes, and he just couldn't ring the doorbell. So the pastor kindly walked across the street and in a pastoral way rang the doorbell. And then he kneeled down to the little boy and he said, "Well, now what's next, fella?" Little boy says, "Run." Sunday school teacher teaching the Ten Commandments to her 5 and 6 year olds. After explaining the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" One little boy raised his hand. She said, "What is it?" He said, "Thou shalt not kill." I got to give you this next one, and then we'll get into the sermon. A fellow went to the doctor who told him that he had a serious illness and probably wouldn't live over a year and a half. So the man was a little bit discouraged, so when he left, he made an appointment with his pastor, go visit with him and talk with him. And during his visit, the man explained his situation and asked his pastor if there was anything that he could do. "What you should do is to go out and to buy a late 70 model or early 80 model Dodge pickup," said the pastor. "Then go find the ugliest, meanest woman that you can find and marry her. And then buy yourself a 50-year-old trailer house in the panhandle of Oklahoma." The fellow was a little perplexed, and he looked at the pastor and he said, "Will this help me live longer?" The pastor said, "No. But it'll make what time you do have seem like forever." Laughter is good for the soul, good for the spirit, and I think is a place for it in the church. And so there you are. I hope you've been refreshed this morning. Numbers 32:11, as we begin, let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. Father, you're so good. Father, we'll never be able to understand your love, your mercy, your grace, your long-suffering, your kindness, your direction, your supply of needs. Father, we just won't be able to do that this side of heaven and probably not even in heaven. Father, we're so grateful that we're your children. Father, we ask that you'd bless this time together, that you'd make application of the scriptures, Father, to our lives. Father, as it is applicable, Father, we pray that you would just minister to each one of us this morning. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. We read in Numbers 32:11, "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me." As believers, is it important for us to follow the Lord? Yes, it is. Is it important for us to, in our following, be holy followers of the Lord? As I was thinking this week in preparation for this morning, I was reminded, before I ever got on this passage of Scripture, I was reminded of the things that I, as a young man in Christ, a young married man, later on a middle-aged man, I was reminded, for some reason, of the things that I had intended to do for the Lord and never had gotten around to do them. It's important that when we get in that position, that we take stock in our lives as to how obedient we have been in our following of the Lord, in our walk with Him. We're looking at this morning partial obedience and its consequences. Partial obedience has consequences to us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You see, the descendants of Reuben and Dan, they wanted a favor from Moses. The area in which they live, Numbers chapter 32, verse 1 through 9, is the Reubenites and the Gadites asked for an inheritance, that they would be able to stay where they were at and not enter into the promised land. And a complete conquest had been made of the country east of the Jordan, where they were at. And it was a place that was good, had plenty of water, had plenty of hay or grass, had plenty of nourishment for their cattle, because they were farmers. They raised cattle. And we find here that they went to Moses and had this request to stay behind. So we find here the setting for which we will be looking at this morning. Reuben and Gad went to Moses. He said, "Boy, this is great land for cattle. And we have a bunch." And they did. They were really good cattle raisers. And they had a lot of cattle. They wanted to stay where the grass was high and the water was plentiful and raise their cattle. Seemed like a honest enough request. We read in Numbers chapter 32, verse 1, however, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. When they saw the land of Jazer, the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad," verse 2, "and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar, the king, the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben," sort of an embarrassing question, "Shall your brethren grow to war and ye sit here?" Are you telling me God's instruction was that He would provide a land for them across Jordan, that area that the children of Israel sent 12 spies into and found it flowing with milk and honey, the grapes so large that they had to carry them on a stick between two men because they were so heavy? This was the land that God promised to His children, and yet here was two groups of Israelites, two family lineages of Israelites that chose to stay or wanted to stay behind and not enter into the promised land. This was evidently not the first disobedience of the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, because Moses had an inkling of the type of individuals they were. And that was the reason that Moses went to bat for the rest of the children of Israel. And he said, "Shall your brethren go to war? Shall you sit here?" Don't you want to get into the conflict and help your brothers enter into the promised land and receive the things that God's promised to them? Evidently, Moses had a little bit of an inkling, of an idea, or maybe of past behavior of the Reubenites and the Gadites as to how committed they were to the job at hand. And wherefore, he goes on, and wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the promised land which the Lord hath given them? Question. Let me ask you, are you maybe like I am, taking stock of your earlier life as a believer, your commitment to the Lord, where you have made what we would call a vow to the Lord? This was the vow that the 12 tribes had made to the Lord, was to go into the promised land where he led them, to receive the blessings that God has promised them. They were willing. They wanted to go into the promised land, with the exception of the children of Reuben and Gad. What kind of promises have I made to the Lord that are unfulfilled? What have I done or not done in my Christian walk with the Lord, which is fulfilling to the promises I've made to him? I'm sure that I'm not alone. This morning, I would ask you the same questions. What promises have you made as a believer? What intentions that you've made as a believer? Are they filled or fulfilled, or are they still lacking? Because the way we respond to the commitments that we as believers have made to the Lord, we find it affects everyone within the family of God. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Maybe it's a discouraging word when a fellow believer comes up and asks you a question, or said, wouldn't it be great if, and then poses the question. Are we encouragers or discouragers? We find Gad and Reuben were not encouragers. They were discouragers. They wanted to sit behind and watch their cattle multiply and grow, for them to become wealthy, where the grass was high and the water was plentiful. Wherefore discourage ye the heart of Israel? Do our actions discourage fellow believers, is the question this morning to each one of us. Or do our actions encourage others? Do we build them up? Do we encourage them? Do we enable them with the way that we respond, to the way that we speak, to the way that we answer, to the way that we step alongside to help encourage? What would we say we would rather be identified with, the 10 tribes or with the descendants of Reuben and Gad? I'm afraid many times I have been sided with those members of the Reubenites and the Gadites. And I look back and I see that in many areas, I have not, and when I say prosper, I'm not talking about monetarily wise, but other ways in my Christian walk, I have not prospered. And probably, in all seriousness, I have not prospered as I would have in a financial way, because I was not faithful. You see, God blesses those who are obedient unto him. Seen it time after time after time. I'll never forget years ago. We just had a series of meetings in our church, and a young woman walked up to me after the service. And the crux of the service was we had a gentleman that headed up a Jewish mission. In fact, I've had the pleasure of being on his board for a number of years. He's passed away, but the director there now has seen fit to allow me to stay on the board. But the crux of, or the purpose of his sermon was to encourage people in their support of Israel, the Jews, not only in giving, but in other ways that they could support them. There was a young lady who came up to me after the service, and she said, "Mike," she said, "I want to help in the Jewish mission." And she said, "But I don't have a job." He said, "I really don't have any money. But what money I have, I'm going to give." And she held out her hand to me, and I held out my hand to her, and she dropped about 28 cents in my hand. And she said, "That's all I've got." I said, "That's all God requires." In less than 2 days, she had a job. And she was working. God blesses obedience in the believer. And we find here that we can either encourage or discourage others in their walk with the Lord, their obedience to Him. We find in verse 37, "And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them?" Verse 8, "This did your fathers." You see, they weren't the first ones, the present Gadites and Reubenites, but their fathers did it. It's amazing how our actions can affect our children. Our disobedience in our walk with the Lord can affect our children. How our disobedience can fail to encourage our children. And we find here in Numbers chapter 32, verse 8, "Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea into the land." You see, the Gadites, the Reubenites, had representatives that Moses sent into the land in the 12 men. Ten came back and said, "Oh, it's a great land, but boy, there are great people in there. They're huge people. They're savage people. We can't take the land." You see, they didn't encourage. The Reubenites and the Gadites did not encourage. We find here that Moses reminds them of the fact that their fathers didn't encourage but discouraged the rest of Israel in their walk with him. We find Numbers chapter 32, verse 9, "For they, when they went up into the valley of Eshcol, saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them." The task just looked too big. They did not have the faith. They did not have the opportunity to be used of God in encouraging the rest of the children of Israel. What about that? Well, I'll tell you what about that. In Ecclesiastes, we read, let's look at Ecclesiastes and we'll read in chapter 5. If you want to turn there with me, you can. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed." You determine to do something for the Lord. You tell the Lord you want to do it. You're going to do it. Then do it. God has no pleasure in those who fail. Pay their vow. In fact, we read that or studied that in Psalms this morning in Sunday school, I will pay my vow unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. You see, the rest of the world and the other believers around us are looking at us and our lives. How do they measure up? How does our life measure up? What is the result of being partially obedient to God in our walk with Him? Well, I would suggest to you, incomplete obedience brings punishment and loss of possessions. We read that in verse 11, Numbers 32. Surely, none of these men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. They missed out on the blessings of God in their life. They missed out those who did not follow, those who brought discouragement to others. Moses said, none of the men from 20 years old, the only ones that would go into the land were those that were 19 and younger at the time that Moses spoke this. And Moses said, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old, God spoke to Moses and said this, 20 years old and upward shall see the land, because I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Our incomplete obedience brings punishment and loss of possession. I would think that those that were 20 years old and older, when this was pronounced, they were devastated. They were doomed to die and never see the promised land. They would never be recipients of all that God had in store for those that would be obedient and go into the promised land. We find also, not only does incomplete obedience bring punishment and loss of possession, our incomplete obedience causes others to suffer. Verse 6, Numbers 32, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? Verse 7, and wherefore discourage ye the hearts of the children of Israel from going over into the land which God hath given them? Verse 8, thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord hath given them. Verse 10, and the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, verse 11, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land. Incomplete obedience. What a shame. You know what? Shame that I was not always fully following the Lord in all of the things that I said in my heart that I would do. What about you? We find also that our incomplete obedience causes us to miss out on God's blessing. Moses even pleads with God for the Israelites in Numbers 14:9, pardon, Moses said unto God, I beseech thee the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Did that sway God? He passed their blessings on to others. Numbers chapter 14, verse 31, but your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. What a shame. Passing their blessings on to others, even their little ones. What a shame. What about your life and my life? As we look back over it, and we normally do as we age, what do you think about your walk with the Lord? Has it been wholly devoted unto Him? Mine hasn't. And I doubt if yours has. We are in this old sinful body. Its pleasures, its intents, its prejudices all affect us in our walk with the Lord. God passed their blessings on to their little ones, even though they thought their little ones would be a prey to those in the promised land. They weren't. Their little ones grew up. They went into the land and received the promise of God because of their obedience. Our incomplete obedience also causes us to miss out on our full inheritance as believers. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance or changing of his mind, though he sought it carefully with tears. You see, the Israelites never possessed all of the promised land that God had promised them. Still haven't. Someday they will, but they haven't now. Their blessings have been passed on to someone else. We find also our incomplete obedience causes us to live in hardship. Israel spent 40 years in wanderings, we find in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 and 48, because thou servest not the Lord God, the Lord thy God, with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee. You see, our incomplete obedience causes us to live in hardship. There's many times I can remember when my wife and I and our oldest son, he was just a little bitty baby, moved to Longview. Talk about hard times. That was hard times. We one time had half a box of Pablum, that's baby foods, baby cereal, and just a little bit of milk. That's all we had. We lived in hardship. And I'm sure that God knew it. And God allowed it, and I'm thankful for it, but at the time, it was really hard. And our incomplete obedience many times causes us to live in hardship. Maybe it's not hunger, maybe it's not lack of food, maybe it's not lack of a job, but we live in hardships other ways. We have no peace, we have no joy. Complete obedience. Is that your life? Is it my life? We find also that in complete obedience, we find that we still follow His directions. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, and said, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare, therefore, and went down into it to go with them into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. What happened to poor Jonah? He lived in hardship for 3 days and three nights. Jonah chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah found himself following God's direction.
whether he wanted to or not. After 3 days and three nights in the belly of that great fish, I'm sure Jonah was much more pliable to God's leading than he was before. Sometimes we go through difficult times, but we still find ourselves following God's direction. Israel even followed God in their wanderings for 40 years, led by a cloud by day and a fire by night. Didn't go into the promised land, but they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Our incomplete obedience causes us to have to settle for less than God's best for us. Numbers chapter 14, verse 30, "Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save, except for, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." God's best for Israel of entering and possessing that promised land was set aside for wanderings in the wilderness for 40 years. Incomplete obedience caused the Israelites that were 20 years old and young, older, only to look forward to death, never to the promised land. Numbers 14:35, "I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathering together against me in this wilderness, that they shall be consumed, and there shall they die." Incomplete obedience. Our incomplete obedience causes our future blessings to be given to someone else. What should our response be to that? 1 John 1:9, "We confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I have claimed that so many times in my walk with the Lord, because my walk with the Lord has not always been perfect. Many times it was sincere, but I never carried through on those things that I told him I would do. I wonder what kind of blessings I missed out on. What about you? How's your life been? When you look back on it, is it all that you envisioned it to be when you were a young person? Could possibly some of that that you missed in life be caused by that incomplete obedience? If that's the case, we ought to go before God and claim 1 John 1:9. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 tells us, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we might find, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." What a blessing it is to know that we serve a loving and kind, gracious and forgiving Heavenly Father. But even with that, it's impossible for us to regain those blessings that we have, for lack of a better term, my granddad always used this term or word, frittered away. What about your life, my life? Not all that it should have been or could have been, but I'm so thankful today that I can go before the Lord and confess that, receive His forgiveness, and obtain mercy and grace in my walk with Him. You see, even old people my age, be 81 in March. Even though I won't, I'll be 82. Nancy, how old will I be? 81? I'm so old I can't even remember. Maybe it was yesterday that I can go to Him and know that I receive forgiveness. Know that I receive His strength, His renewal, and I can still be used of Him. What an opportunity we have as young people as older people, mid-age, and even as old people to serve the Lord. The Lord is kind. He's merciful. We can find grace to help in time of need. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for your word. Even, Father, the lessons that we find in the Old Testament, Father, that we can be assured of heaven as our home, of your love and mercy, even when we're disobedient. Father, we pray that we might all remember to pay that vow that we vowed unto the Lord, because he'll bless that. Father, we thank you for your many blessings in all areas of our life. We ask, Father, for your blessings upon our church and those that are here this morning, and ask, Father, that you'd bless them and bless them extra special good. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.